good to be with you on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. And speaking of EWTN, honoring the foundress today, Mother Mary Angelica, on the 100th anniversary of her birth. And I was just telling our very own Father Mitch Pacwa, who joins me on Thursdays, of course, for Cultural Connections, had the opportunity to spend some in-person time with him last week. And I was telling him that Deacon Dom and I are blessed. We were invited, among the many invited, to a Mass today being held in Rome in honor of Mother's 100th anniversary of her birth. Now, this is connected to the Rector's Dinner for the North American College, EWTN graciously extending the invitation to those attending the dinner, which will be after the Mass. So, Father, I'm so excited to be able to honor Mother. What an amazing woman who just listened to the Lord and went through a lot of suffering, but look what she accomplished. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. I think one of the most important elements of understanding her is what you just said. She listened to the Lord. This is no small issue. I'll never forget a conversation she and I had back in the about 85, 86, talking about how she takes 4 hours before the Blessed Sacrament for every hour she spent on air.
Wow.
And you know, she knew that her real mission was the prayer. Her order is a contemplative community. And she was very committed to that. Now, a number of people did point out that she talked a lot for contemplative, but
she was Italian. What do you expect? Come on, right?
I'm just saying.
Just saying. Yeah.
But it was very important to note that she did take that kind of time to pray. And she was a busy woman. She, as most ladies are, she was, all running this business. And it was truly remarkable, all that she did in, running this apostolate. She was very clever in how she ran everything. A lot of folks don't realize that something she had in common with Ted Turner, it wasn't much, but she did have in common with him that they started around the same time. And her concern, and she and he both came up with the idea of giving a cable a network free of charge. If you remember, the earlier model for cable television is that they would make money by each subscriber paying a certain amount to the cable carrier. And that amount of money was how you would, get your income. Well, she rejected that. She wanted to give the signal away because it's the gospel of Christ.
Right.
And she said, just put it out there. And that was, and at the same time that she wanted to give away, she also said, we're not going to do the Nielsen ratings. We don't advertise. We're not going to sell advertising or think along those lines. Whereas Ted Turner did think along those lines very much. But her concern was to get the gospel out free of charge. And she was thinking all these things through. How do you do this kind of work? How do you get people to know about it? All this, running this network and trying to come up with money. And one of my other favorite lines in regard to running the network, she said, I have a lot of faith in Jesus. my stomach doesn't know it yet.
Well, didn't you always used to say faith is 1 foot in the air, 1 foot on the ground, and a queasy feeling in the stomach? I love that.
Yeah, that was another one of her statements. And this, you know, this was how she was working to run this whole network. It was, for her, something she did operate as, obviously a business, a small one in a way, for television, because the, at the time, I don't know that there were 25 employees when I started.
Mm-hmm. What year did you start, Father? You were there right, pretty much in the beginning, right? Or
yeah,
shortly thereafter.
Yeah, 84.
Wow.
So it was pretty early on. And, February of 84, as a matter of fact, it was February 29th, 1984. And the reason I remember it so easily is, of course, back in the old days, women would ask men on the date on Sadie Hawkins Day, which mm-hmm. was February 29th, leap year.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to tease Mother that I was her leap year date.
Aww.
And she said, "You must have been hard up." I said, "Hey, you invited me."
We're talking with Father Mitch Pacwa, of course, from EWTN, author, speaker, and amazing scriptural scholar and radio and TV host, talking about Mother Angelica. Today we are remembering Mother on the 100th anniversary of her birth. In Rome, there will be a special mass. It will be celebrated in honor of Mother. EWTN doing a lot of beautiful coverage again on this anniversary. So for all of the details, please visit the homepage of EWTN.com, including what will be live streamed from Rome and other places that are honoring Mother on this special day. I never had the opportunity to meet her, Father, but I always felt close to her because I loved her feistiness. She reminded me a lot of my own mom and my aunts from New Jersey. And I know she was from Ohio, but she had this spitfire in her where she just, as my mom did and as my aunts still do, those who are still alive, just they're very truthful and very direct. I always say in my new book, Everything's Coming Up Rosie, I say my mom was a combination of Mother Angelica on the faith side, and on the other side, Marie Barone and Rose Petrillo. Marie being from, obviously, Everybody Loves Raymond, and then Rose Petrillo from The Golden Girls. You know, that feistiness where they are full of love, but they also have no problem putting you in your place and telling you about it.
Well, and, you know, Mother Angelica would do that all the time. She clearly loved people, but she, you know, really was a mom to so many.
Right.
And, you know, it had that maternal sense. And, you know, when I mentioned before how she would spend 4 hours a day, one of the tricks that I did on her, learning from her, she would like until it came back at her. There was a point where the Israeli government had liked some of my shows, and they said to me, "Would you come to Israel? We'll let you film anything you want." And I thought, well, maybe I'll get to go to some of the ruins and do some biblical stuff. Well, Mother kept saying, "No, I don't want any of the camera crew to get hurt, and I don't want my cameras broken. They're too expensive."
Mm.
And so I was frustrated, and the Israeli said, "Why won't you do it?" She's afraid. So I said, "All right, I'm going to pull one of her tricks." I went into the chapel and was kneeling down before the Blessed Sacrament. And I said, "Lord, what would get Mother Angelica to let me, you know, go over to do this filming in the Holy Land?" Idea came to my mind. I went out, and she happened to be just outside the door. And I said, "Mother, what if we videotaped praying the rosary at the places where the mysteries of the rosary happened?" 15 seconds, she said yes.
Aw. There you go.
This was one more example that what she did was very effective. She just didn't expect it to work, to get something done that she was afraid of. But she and obviously that became, very important because
it was very popular. It still is. We see it every now and then, and I just love it because having been to the Holy Land myself, when you're there praying the rosary, it just, you're literally walking in the footsteps of our Lord, and you have
the
pleasure there.
Yeah, and you go to the places where the mystery happened. Oh, yep. She was excited. But the other thing she said when I did that trip is, I want you to record the Mass because I want the Mass. Now, this was before we were broadcasting the daily Mass. But she had that in mind, that we would be offering Mass to people. She had, you know, a growing vision of what she wanted, and what the Lord wanted her to do, because that was the key thing. What did our Lord want her to do? And you know, it was something. And you know, the other interesting thing is the bishops had started a network about the same time, and it didn't go as well as EWTN. And you know, this was something that you know, was a surprise. They had a lot more money, and also a guy named Harry John started a network, and that didn't go over all that well either. You know, it was the key was the prayerfulness of Mother Angelica. That, more than anything else, was the key. She was listening to our Lord and trying to serve Him. She one other thing too, because this goes against the popular notion. Back in the 80s, I was saying to her, we need to address some of the controversial issues in the church. And she said, no, I don't want to do that, because I just want to focus on what we do believe rather than arguing about what we don't. We don't want to confuse people. Now, a lot of people think of her as feisty and as taking on the liberals and all that. She didn't want to. Mm-hmm. But that fight finally came to her threshold. She did not back down.
We'll pick up that conversation after the break, Father. We have to take a quick break or we'll be cut off by the satellite. And we'll have a satellite story, too. I love that story about the satellite dish that Raymond always tells. We're talking with, of course, Father Mitch Pacwa. This is our Cultural Connections segment, a special one today honoring Mother Angelica and what an impact she has been making and continues to make on our culture. Speaking of cultural connections, we'll be right back. Thanks for tuning in to EWTN on a Thursday morning. Please check our website, EWTN.com, for all the details on the special coverage of this very important day in Catholic broadcast history. And I would say broadcast history in general. It's the 100th anniversary of the birth of Mother Angelica, the foundress of EWTN, which is worldwide and has been for decades and continues to grow, thanks be to God, and started all by a woman who felt the Lord calling her to do something, and she said yes, despite the suffering, despite the struggles. And EWTN has, since it's been on the air in the early 80s, grown to be the largest media, religious media outlet, network actually, in the world. Father Mitch, you were telling a little bit of a story in terms of how the battle came to Mother. She wanted to concentrate, obviously, on prayer and the sacraments and catechesis, which she did so well also, but she didn't back down from speaking the truth, about the truth, with a capital T.
No. A good example was when the movie Last Temptation of Christ came out.
Mm-hmm.
She took it on because it was describing how Jesus was having temptations come from within Him. And, you know, she didn't have any kind of advanced degrees. Her farthest advanced degree was high school. And, but she was extremely smart, like a lot of depression babies.
Yep.
They couldn't go to school. She certainly couldn't go to college. She grew up really poorly, you know, just poor. But she was smart. And she also had as strong an instinct of faith. And while she didn't know how to put it into words, she knew that that movie was blasphemous. And so she took on the people who did it, and she also was on the Larry King show and just went after him. And that was one of the early fights against, you know, arguing against things. And that, it moved on from there. In fact, she had me on to discuss it. And what I was able to bring was the theological aspect that Christ was without sin, including original sin. Therefore, he could not have temptations coming within himself mm-hmm. the way we do, because he didn't have original sin.
Right.
And then you could see, oh, she never figured that theology part out, but she knew it was wrong. That instinct came because she loved our Lord so much, and she knew he was being insulted. And that also came out at the time of the Stations of the Cross during World Youth Day. She you know, reacted against it, and then she, you know, took on, you know, a lot of other issues. And, you know, she asked me to do a series on the New Age movement. She realized we can't just leave these issues behind, but we do have to give the answers as to why they're wrong, and she wanted that done. And at the same time, the network was moving into radio. At first, you know, just the radio by satellite and shortwave, excuse me, shortwave. And then satellite after when that came online. But she was only thinking about shortwave radio as the technology opened. Mm-hmm. You know, she realized the possibilities. We can be on the air like we are. It's remarkable.
She had so much foresight in terms of really, visions and what could, you know, that nothing was impossible with God. But she had incredible faith because she had to move forward without everything, you know, all nice and tidy and tied up in this contract or that contract or that package deal. And I love Raymond Arroyo in his first book on Mother, where he talks about the satellite dish when she knew she needed a satellite dish, which cost hundreds of thousands of dollars back then when she wanted it.
$180,000.
Yeah. Right.
It was $180,000, and she had to give one-third the price upon delivery.
Mm-hmm.
The guy showed up, and she didn't have any money.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she went to pray. She said, sweetheart, she called everybody sweetheart. She said, why don't you go get some tea and cookies with the sisters in the parlor while I go get your money? And she went to the chapel to ask Jesus for it. And, she said, well, I need the money. Well, nothing. Well, she walks out, and the portress says, Mother, there's a guy on the phone. Says he needs to talk to you. And she said, not now, sweetheart. I have to go and tell this man to take back the dish. And he said, no. He's on a boat. Now, this is before anybody knew of cell phones. This is 1980. And he gets on and says, Mother, I love your pamphlet.
Mm-hmm.
Which was something that she got into producing before
she started the network, right? Yeah,
because when the sisters were supporting themselves by selling roasted peanuts at the baseball stadium, they asked for a kickback.
I have that story coming up. I'm going to share that with our listeners. It's so funny,
okay.
but go ahead. Yeah.
Right.
So anyway, she needed this money, right? Yeah, no, we'll share it later, but she needed the money, and then one of her many miracles happened, right?
And the guy said, I'd like to give you $60,000. And so she says, can you send it right now?
Yeah.
And so he did by electric transfer, which, as Raymond said, he checked on the timing of the electric transfer from the bank records, and it was exactly as she had said.
Yeah.
Now, this came up a number of times. You know, I remember twice, once in 85, maybe the other in 86 or 7, that we had to do telethons to keep the network from going under.
Right.
Bills were due the next Friday, and she would call me to come up there to help out, and other priests would be there. And it was just 24 hours just asking for money because we had nothing. And I remember once, she was off stage, you know, she'd gone for a little rest, And I was on there, and I said, look, I'll sing the Polish national anthem for $5,000. And then we got it. And so then I said, well, I'll tell a Russian joke for $1,000. And she comes back and said, what's that? And then this other priest said, I'll sing a lovely bunch of coconuts for a couple thousand dollars, whatever. And so all this stuff started doing it. She says, what's with the song and dance going on since I've been gone? But we got the money, and again, that was really, really close, but we made it. And, yeah. You know, with those close times, she just kept staying faithful.
Yeah, and I love the fact that she had this idea to give the free programming. If you look at our radio affiliates right across the country, several hundred of them now, yeah, it's very costly, Father, as you know, to basically staff an entire brick-and-mortar station. If you were to hire, not that Catholic radio personalities make a ton of money, but still you'd have to pay a salary for a producer, an on-air person, executive producer, other shows during the day to fill up that time. But now that we have pre-produced shows that people can pick up that are orthodox and solid, then the local stations can concentrate, okay, maybe we can do a weekend show, maybe we can do something once a week. Either way, extremely amazing woman, and what a blessing to honor her, along with, of course, the stories of Father Mitch Pacwa, who's known Mother for a very long time and worked with her from just about the very beginning. More on Mother Angelica coming up right after the break. Remember, we need to do the ridiculous so God can do the miraculous. Another great quote of Mother Angelica, the 100th anniversary of her birth today. We'll be right back.